WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief. Catastrophic flooding in Central Texas caused at least 50 deaths. This man lives in Caraville. He and his wife held onto a tree in their yard as they tried to get help.
I literally pulled up my waterproof phone and started calling people, hey, get Swiftwater Rescue to come get us because we are like in extremis. We are in bad shape.
A new documentary focuses on the American Revolution as the nation celebrates the 249th year since the signing of the Declaration of Independence. Filmmaker Ken Burns.
I think the American Revolution is the most important event since the birth of Christ in all of world history.
You can hear the full interview on today's edition of CBS's Face the Nation. There have been week-long celebrations in northern India for the 90th birthday of the Dalai Lama. Thousands of his followers have attended, including this man.
Each one of us who are followers of His Holiness represent the spirit of freedom and nonviolence that he represents.
CBS News Brief. I'm Stacey Lynn.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Barr. If you're spending more time outside this holiday weekend, experts are warning about a new breed of tick and the bizarre allergy it can spread with just one bite. It's known as the Lone Star tick, and the bug is finding its way to Wisconsin from the southeast part of the country. Doctors with Mayo Clinic say they're already starting to see more patients with what's known as alpha-gal syndrome. It's an allergy to red meat after being bit by this type of tick. And these ticks aren't just in the woods.
You go back 30 years ago and you'd think of, a hunter, an avid hiker out in the woods. Now we're starting to see ticks pop up sometimes in backyards in suburban areas and stuff like that. And that's a concern.
PJ Leash is an entomologist at the UW Insect Diagnostic Lab. And though this new tick is spreading, he still considers Lyme disease from a deer tick the bigger concern. Leash also suggests using insect spray, wearing long sleeves and pants, and always checking for ticks after spending time outside. Are you noticing farmers spending more time outside working in the fields? The weather in some parts of the state is challenging and may not mean all the corn crops are knee-high by the 4th of July. The latest crop report shows farmers across Wisconsin had just 3.5 days with workable conditions during the last week. And did you know our state is ranked second for having the most organic farms in the country? Officials with Naturally Wisconsin and the Food Finance Institute are starting a new program to support those efforts and say there's also growing consumer demand for natural, healthy, and sustainable products. The group's already working with more than 800 food-focused entrepreneurs from all across the state. You can find more news anytime at civicmedia.us. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
A Brewer injury. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers wrapping up their 3-game series against the Marlins in Miami today. Milwaukee losing yesterday 4-2, and they lost veteran first baseman Rhys Hoskins, who left the game with an injured thumb on his left hand. How bad is it? Manager Pat Murphy after the game.
Yeah, it doesn't look great. It's not fractured. I don't know after that. He doesn't feel great right now, and I think it's going to be super sore for it's your bottom hand swinging, so it's very, really important. It's that thumb. I don't think we'll see him for a few days, but hopefully it's not an IL, but it might be, depending on how he feels in the next few days.
Did he even try to grip a bat?
He did. He said it didn't feel very good. He said he could squeeze a glove. They did all the testing they do out there. I could tell it was killing him, but he finished the inning and then came in, tried to grab a bat. He said, no, I can't grab a bat. For it to be like that, and Rhys Hoskins, because I know who he is, it's got to be really hurting him.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. We'll see a few showers and thunderstorms lingering into the afternoon before ending. Mostly cloudy skies, our winds turning to the north and highs in the lower 80s. Overnight, a few clouds around, lows in the low to mid 60s. Mostly sunny, close to 80 Monday. Currently 71 degrees.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Skilled trade workers are the backbone of every community and also the Army National Guard. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and in every other trade needed to accomplish the mission. These soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Pat Kreitlow. On Monday, we'll review the holiday weekend. Hope yours has been good. Also, Kristen Lyerly, John and Gordy, and Jane Matinair will join us as well.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Beautiful day in the summertime of 2025. Make it a year to remember. Stick around till high noon. We're on the air in most of these civic media radio network stations. And we're worldwide, civicmedia.us. We're up to 30 stations now. This is the music of Eric Coates. I want you to meet a little bit of his music. Wrote this in 1924. He called it Summer Afternoon. Played the viola, the Royal Academy of Music. Born in Nottinghamshire in 1986. He wrote 160 songs and a whole lot more. And he wrote tone poems. You can just see that summer afternoon and live it by listening to Eric Coates. At one time, American dance music swept across Europe. Well, this guy was an avid dancer. He liked that kind of jazz, and there was the Incorporated, get this now, the Incorporated Society of Musicians. And one guy addressed them at their annual meeting, said, "We must ban jazz." Have you heard that before? Well, Eric Coates, he said, "I'm going to write more jazz under a fake name, Jack Arnold." Don't be fooled, that's Eric Coates. He wrote all kinds of stuff under his own name later. And following all that stuff, he wrote something called Westward. If only jazz were as agreeable as Mr. Coates makes it out to be, there wouldn't be half the outcry against jazz. Come on. How about a little music, Irving Berlin style, with Robert Mitchum? The Music of the Stars.
Blue skies smiling at me. Nothing but blue skies do I see. Bluebirds singing a song all about blue skies, baby, all the day long. Never saw the sun shining so bright. Never saw things going so right. Noticing the days hurrying by. When you're in love, oh my, how they fly. Blue days, all of them gone. Nothing but blue skies from now on. Ooh, blue skies smiling at me. Nothing but blue skies, baby, do I see. That's all I ever see, bluebirds singing a song all about the blue skies, baby, all the day long. I never saw the sun shining so bright, and I never saw things going quite so rightly. Noticing the days hurrying by. When you're in love, oh my, how they fly. Blue days, all of them gone, we gone. Nothing but blue skies, baby, from now on. E-oh. Blue skies smiling at me. Nothing but blue skies do I see. Blue birds singing a song. Nothing but blue birds all day long. Never saw the sun shining so bright. Never saw things going so right. Noticing the days hurrying by. When you're in love, my, how they fly. Blue days, all of them gone. Nothing but blue skies from now on. Do
Things going oh so right. Noticing the days hurrying by. When you're in love, they fly blue. Hey, all them gone. Not the blue sky. Right now, oh, bidding ya to that.
Like the home I once knew. There's a blue sky way out yonder. That's a roof over my head. There's a blue sky way out yonder. That's a cover for my bed. And wherever I wander, and wherever I may roam, there's a blue sky way out yonder, and it's calling me back.
Spike Jones and his country cousins. Nat Cole, All the Skies Are Blue.
I was walking along, minding my business, when out of an orange-colored sky,
flash, bang, alakazam,
wonderful you came by. I was humming a tune, drinking in sunshine, when out of that orange-colored view,
flash, bang, alakazam,
I got a look at you. One look and I yell, timber, watch out for flying glass. 'Cause the ceiling fell in, the bottom fell out, I went into a spin, I started to shout, I've been hit.
This is it, I-T-hit.
I was walking along, minding my business, when love came and hit me in the eye.
Flash, bam, alakazam,
out of an orange-colored sky. One look and I yell timber. Watch out for flying glass. 'Cause the ceiling fell in and the bottom fell out. I went into a spin and I started to shout. I've been hit.
This is it. This is it. IT.
I was walking along, minding my business, when love came and hit me in the eye.
Flash, bam,
alakazam. Out of an orange-colored purple stripe, a pretty green polka-dot sky.
Flash, a bam,
alakazam, and goodbye. Wow, I thought love was much softer than that. What a most disturbing sound.
Nat Cole with Milton the Lark.
Under the sun, only one color I think much fun, and that's orange. Orange, I said, the silly old color who lives next to red, the one that is orangely out of its head, that giggles and titters and rolls in the aisle, no matter what happens, guffaws all the while. Old orange, as flip as a high-spinning coin, or a stone skipping water he skips. As free as a spree with a bird supposed to be, if a spree with a bird could be free. Why not? An orangey bird, with orangey wings, with orangey songs that it orangey sings, that orangely comes as it orangely goes, laughing in orange from its head to its toes. When everything's orangey goofy like this, trouble's a joke, just an orangey joke, so sorrow and sadness and sigh, just jokes to poke orangey pokes at. Only one trouble, trouble's orange, if you please. That's in the morning. It's the trouble called squeeze. Changing orangey orange into vitamin C's.
Music of the stars. Here's Natalie Cole.
That orange colored view. Wham, bam, alakazam. I gotta look at you. One look and I yell timber. Watch out for flying glass. 'Cause the ceiling fell in and the bottom fell out. I went into a spin and I started to shout. I've been hit. This is it. This is it. I was walking along, when love came and hit me in the eye. Flash, bam, alakazam. Out of an orange colored sky.
Thank you.
The music of Michelle Legrand from A Picture of 76. Gable and Lombard with Jill Clayburgh in the title role as Carol Lombard. Not much of a picture, but a great theme. Anything Michelle Legrand did. Yeah, I'm a big fan of. How about this one? Not a classic, but it's got a classic song that you might remember. The Adventures of Rin Tin Tin on television. The music of the stars. James Brown, no, not that James Brown, wrote this and sang it.
I have heard many stories from an old Indian friend, and this is my favorite, even though it has no end. There's an old Indian legend I was told long ago. It's about a special valley and the white buffalo. There are few who have seen him, though they've looked high and low. For the trail is long and winding to the white buffalo. The legend says you'll find him if your heart is brave and true, and you treat all men as brothers, no matter they do. I've searched for that valley since I started to grow. I won't stop until I find it and the white buffalo. The legend says you'll find him if your heart is brave and true, and you treat all men as brothers, no matter what they do. I have searched for that valley since I started grow. I won't stop until I find it and the white buffalo. For I know it's right to find the white buffalo.
That became a legend on television. People said, what a nice song that was, the Bergmans who wrote that. And Alan and Marilyn Bergman, that team broke up. We did a tribute to them.
Oh, give me a horse, a great big horse, and give me a buckaroo, and let me wahoo, wahoo, wahoo.
Steve Lawrence.
Hey,
give me a ranch, a big pair of pants, throw in a 10-gallon too, and let me wahoo, wahoo, wahoo. Give me the wide open spaces, for I'm just like a prairie flower, growing wilder every hour. Hey, give me a moon, a prairie moon, and give me a gal that's true, and let me wahoo, wahoo, wahoo. I never could sing a high-class thing. Good music I never knew, but I can wahoo, wahoo, wahoo. Oh, I never could dance, 'cause when I dance I ruin a lady's shoe, but I can wahoo, wahoo, wahoo. It's just a gift from the prairie. You shout it when a batman jigs. It's very good for calling pigs. I never could speak a word of Greek. I never could foo poo pa doo. But I can wahoo, wahoo. Yes, I can wahoo.
Steve Lawrence, Marion Evans, and the band. Spike Jones.
Somewhere west of Pecos, there's a cowboy that's hep. He used to be an icky without any pep, singing mighty sadly of his home on the range. Now he does it boogie-woogie, and man, what a change. Oh, give me a home where the buffalo roam, and the deer and the antelope play all day, where seldom is heard a discouraging word. Shoot the halter to me, Walter boy. He used to punch the cattle and plunk his guitar, 'cause he'd never heard about A to the Bar. He went down to Memphis and he got on the beat, and now his horse is prancing with boogie feet. Whoa, clippity-clop, clippity-clop, his old pinto's alive, and he jumps to the jive. Clippity-clop, clippity-clop, shoot the saddle to me, pinto boy. Boogie artist on the radio now, drawing down 1,000 per for showing them how. But if he lost his pinto, he'd be knocked off his feet, 'cause he's got to have him with him to give him the beat. Whoa, clippity-clop, clippity-clop, he's a killer, it's true, when they're jamming to do. Clippity-clop, clippity-clop, shoot the ranger to me, silver boy. Take it easy, Silver. Look out for that buffalo.
The deer and the antelope play.
where seldom is heard a discouraging word, and the skies are not cloudy all day. How often at night, when the heavens are bright with the light from the glittering stars, have I stood there amazed and asked as I gazed if their glory exceeds that of ours? The deer and the antelope play, where seldom is heard a discouraging word, and the skies are not cloudy all day.
That's Burl Ives. Back to Steve now, Lawrence, that is.
Oh, give me a home where the buffalo roam, where the deer and the antelope play, where seldom is heard a discouraging word, and the skies are not cloudy all day. Home, home on the range, where the deer and the antelope play, where seldom is heard a discouraging word, and the skies are not cloudy all day. Seldom is heard a discouraging word, and the skies are not cloudy all day. Where seldom is heard a discouraging word, after all, what can an antelope say?
Underneath the frozen earth at Hyde Park today, a great man had a birthday, and the little path that leads down to his grave was narrow and cold. On earth, this man walked a path that was wide and warm. Whole nations were lined up on either side, and they felt the warmth, and so did lots of us little people. I, for one, thought the world of this man. I think he was a magnificent human being. I suppose he had his share of human weakness, but he sure had more than his share of human strength. What I admired most about him was the way he had of making every American feel welcome here. Yes, it's his birthday today, and I only wish he could be with us tonight to kind of ask you to chip into the March of Dimes, his own personal cause. But then I know you'll get in there and pitch anyway, because when it comes to protecting a little tot from infantile paralysis, the great crippler, you probably feel as strongly as FDR did. So, neighbors, I wonder if you wouldn't mind so much tonight if we sing Mr. Roosevelt's favorite song. Axel?
Oh, give me a home where the buffalo roam, where the deer and the antelope.
where seldom is heard a discouraging word, and the skies are not cloudy all day. Home, home on the range, where the deer and the antelope play, where seldom is heard a discouraging word, and the skies are not cloudy all day. Oh, give me a land where the bright diamond sand flows down the stream, where the graceful white swan goes gliding along like a maid in a heavenly dream. Then I would not exchange my home on the range, where the deer and the antelope play.
The United States of America was born in 1776, but it was conceived 169 years before that. The earliest settlers had watered the New World with much sweat. They had built substantial holdings for themselves, for their families. And when the time came to separate themselves from a tyranny an ocean away, at best it meant starting all over again after the ravages of war. Researching what you're about to hear gave a whole new dimension to my reverence for our nation's first citizens. All others of the world's revolutions, before and since, were initiated by men who had nothing to lose. Nothing to lose. Our founders had everything to lose and nothing to gain, except one thing. Hello, Americans. I'm Paul Harvey. You remember the cherry tree fiction. A long time after you have forgotten the more earth-shaking, history-making episodes in the life of George Washington, you have misplaced in your memory the details of Ben Franklin's statesmanship, but you remember his flying a kite. Joyce Kilmer was a great military hero. But the only thing you personally recall about him is his poetic tribute to trees. Maybe of this current decade, that which will be remembered best will not be its wars and its moon rockets or its crumbling frontiers or the giants who lived and died. Maybe all that'll survive to linger in the day-by-day vocabulary of generations yet unborn may be the songs of a Memphis minstrel or the reincarnation of electric automobiles. But for any eve of the 4th of July, I, Paul Harvey, do herewith bequeath unto you something to remember. You may not be able to quote one line from the Declaration of Independence at this moment. Henceforth, you'll always be able to quote at least one line. It's in the last paragraph where you will recall when I remind you, it says, "We mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor." In the Pennsylvania State House that's now called Independence Hall in Philadelphia, the best men from each of the colonies sat down together. This was a very fortunate hour in our nation's history, one of those rare occasions in the lives of men when we had greatness to spare. These were men of means, well-educated, 24 were lawyers and jurists. 9 were farmers, owners of large plantations. On June 11, a committee sat down to draw up a Declaration of Independence. We were going to tell the British fatherland, no more rule by redcoats. Below the dam of ruthless foreign rule, the stream of freedom was running shallow and muddy. And we were going to light a fuse to dynamite that dam. This pact, as Burke later put it, was a partnership between the living and the dead and the yet unborn. There was no bigotry, there was no demagoguery in this group. All had shared hardships. Jefferson finished a draft of the document in 17 days. Congress adopted it in July, and so much is familiar history. But now, King George III had denounced all rebels in America as traitors. Punishment for treason was hanging. The names now so familiar to you from the several signatures on that Declaration of Independence, the names were kept secret for 6 months for each knew the full meaning of that magnificent last paragraph in which his signature pledged his life, his fortune, and his sacred honor. 56 men placed their names beneath that pledge. 56 men knew when they signed that they were risking everything. They knew if they won this fight, the best they could expect would be years of hardship in a struggling nation. And if they lost, they'd face a hangman's rope. But they signed the pledge. And here is the documented fate of that gallant 56. Carter Braxton of Virginia, wealthy planter, trader, saw his ships swept from the seas. To pay his debts, he lost his home and all of his properties and died in rags. Thomas Lynch Jr., who signed that pledge, was a third-generation rice grower, aristocrat, large plantation owner. After he signed, his health failed. His wife and he set out for France to regain his failing health. Their ship never got to France, was never heard from again. Thomas McKean of Delaware was so harassed by the enemy that he was forced to move his family 5 times in 5 months. He served in Congress without pay, his family in poverty and in hiding. Vandals looted the properties of Ellery and Clymer and Hall and Gwinnett and Walton and Hayward and Rutledge and Middleton. Thomas Nelson, Jr. of Virginia, raised $2 million on his own signature to provision our allies, the French fleet. After the war, he personally paid back the loans, wiped out his entire estate, and he was never reimbursed by his government. In the final battle for Yorktown, he, Nelson, urged General Washington to fire on his, Nelson's, own home, which was occupied by Cornwallis. It was destroyed. Thomas Nelson, Jr. had pledged his life, his fortune, and his sacred honor. The Hessians seized the home of Francis Hopkinson of New Jersey. Francis Lewis had his home and everything destroyed, his wife imprisoned. She died within a few months. Richard Stockton, who signed that declaration, was captured, mistreated, his health broken to the extent that he died at 51. His estate was pillaged. Thomas Hayward, Jr. was captured when Charleston fell. John Hart was driven from his wife's bedside while she was dying. Their 13 children fled in all directions for their lives. His fields and grist mill were laid waste. For more than a year, he lived in forests and caves and returned home after the war to find his wife dead, his children gone, his properties gone. And he died a few weeks later of exhaustion and a broken heart. Lewis Morris saw his land destroyed, his family scattered. Philip Livingston died within a few months from the hardships of the war. John Hancock, history remembers best due to a quirk of fate rather than anything he stood for, that great sweeping signature attesting to his vanity, towers over the others, one of the wealthiest men in New England. And yet he stood outside Boston one terrible night of the war, and he said, "Burn Boston, though it makes John Hancock a beggar, if the public good requires it." So he too lived up to the pledge. Of the 56, few were long to survive. 5 were captured by the British and tortured before they died. 12 had their homes from Rhode Island to Charleston sacked, looted, occupied by the enemy, or burned. Two lost their sons in the army. One had two sons captured. 9 of the 56 died in the war from its hardships or from its more merciful bullets. I don't know what impression you had of the men who met that summer in Philadelphia. But I think it's important that we remember this about them. They were not poor men. They were not wild-eyed pirates. These were men of means. They were rich men, most of them, and had enjoyed much ease and luxury in their personal living. Not hungry men, certainly not terrorists, not irresponsible malcontents, not fanatical incendiaries. These men were prosperous men, wealthy landowners. They were substantially secure in their prosperity. They had everything to lose. But they considered liberty, and this is as much as I shall say of it, they had learned that liberty is so much more important than security, that they pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. And they fulfilled their pledge. They paid the price. And freedom was born.
What is America to me? A name, a map, or a flag I see? A certain word, democracy. What is America to me? The house I live in, a plot of earth, a street, the grocer and the butcher, and the people that I meet, the children in the playground, the faces that I see, all races and religions, that's America to me. I work in, the worker by my side, the little town or city where my people lived and died, the howdy and the handshake, the air of feeling free, and the right to speak my mind out, that's America to me. The things I see about me, the big things and the small, the little corner newsstand and the house a mile tall, the wedding and the churchyard, the laughter and the tears, the dream that's been a-growing for 150 years. The town I live in, the street, the house, the room, the pavement of the city, or a garden all in bloom, the church, the school, the clubhouse, the million lights I see. But especially the people, that's America to me.
Now stand by for news on the Columbia Broadcasting System and back to the music of the stars. Until midnight, Summertime.
WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief. Crews and community members are out searching for any survivors of Friday's flash flooding in Central Texas. Brian Blackbird's among them, looking for his family.
We're still hoping for the best. That's all we can do in that and pray.
They went missing when the river rose more than 25 feet in less than an hour. After a legal battle, the Trump administration's deported 8 men to Sudan. CBS's Christopher Cruz with details.
The men are from Cuba, Mexico, Laos, Myanmar, Sudan, and Vietnam. They'd all been convicted of serious crimes. South Sudanese officials say they plan to reach out to the deportees' home governments to ask if the men will be allowed to return.
Ceasefire talks are expected today in Qatar. Linda Gradstein says they come a day before Israel's prime minister comes to Washington.
President Trump has made it clear that he would like to announce a 60-day ceasefire between Israel and Hamas while Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is in the White House.
CBS News Brief. I'm Stacey Lynn.